are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura with Michael Regei filling in for Vic Carucci this week. And Reg, we have got a couple callers. We're going to hear from Mel Kiper in a second, but here's another guy beating the drum for Sammy Watkins. Mike in Cleveland Heights joins us.
Yeah, you got that right. I'm going to just put it like this. I'm going to express it the way the great Bernie Mac used to express it. And that is, if Patton and Farmer go past Sammy Watkins and he's on the board, all I got to say is, America, let me introduce you to two new foods.
That was good. That was good.
I will. Nathan, I'll give you this, and everybody. I still believe, regardless of, and we know the buzz for the quarterback has really started to gain strength. There's no question about that at four. But if Clowney, Robinson, and Mack are the first three, I believe, too, that the Browns are going to take Sammy Watkins.
It certainly is possible, or I think at that point they would have many people interested in moving to number four.
The phones are going to be ringing like crazy,
which is
Nate.
As you and I have said, not a bad scenario for the Browns.
Not at all. You and I are in lockstep about that.
Yes, we are.
That Minnesota Viking phone could be very intriguing with Rick Spielman come draft night.
We can blow the Viking horn and let's wheel and deal here, ladies and gentlemen.
Do that again for me. That's good. They were doing too much of that when Jordan Cameron went off on him in the Hubert H. Humphrey Dome last September.
No, they weren't.
That
they
was
were shocked.
Brian Hoyer.
That's right, Brian Hoyer.
Bounced back from a couple of early second half picks and led that final drive. Cameron had a big day. Gordon had a big day. Loved it.
That was one of the more exciting moments in the 2013 season. No doubt about that. And one of the things that's going to make 2014 exciting is the influx of talent in this draft. The Browns have 10 picks in what is being called the deepest draft in over 30 years. And Mel Kiper, the ESPN draft guru, had his big conference call yesterday, and he was talking about the Browns' options in this draft.
So they got the quarterback at four, receiver or corner at the late first, and then come back with a whoever you didn't get at 35, or trade that 35th pick for Kirk Cousins, then use the fourth pick to assist your defense with Mack or Watkins if he were there, and then use 26 on a corner.
Cousins trade four thing, huh?
I don't know why. I
don't get that.
Not
Nate.
For 35.
Why are so many? I don't get why so many around the league are equating that. Kyle Shanahan notwithstanding with Cousins.
Right.
Okay, fine. Other than that, if you're looking at the Browns realistically, and as you and I do, with what is in place with Brian Hoyer, and that you're going to have to pay Cousins coming off of his rookie contract, what makes the link up there? I don't really understand it.
If Kyle Shanahan was not the offensive coordinator of the Cleveland
Browns,
we'd
never hear about it.
We would never be hearing about Kirk Cousins. And that, to me, should be the ultimate. And let me ask you this for those of you, because some people on Twitter have told me that I'm nuts for not wanting Kirk Cousins. What exactly has Kirk Cousins done other than have a great game against the Cleveland Browns that makes you think he should be the guy? Let me remind you that last year when he got an opportunity to play substantially worse than mediocre. This was a guy who averaged 5.5 yards per attempt, barely completed 50% of his passes,
Had
four touchdowns and seven interceptions. Why is everybody so excited? I'd rather have Brian Hoyer, who's here. And by the way, in my opinion, the 35th pick in this year's draft is like a top 20 first-round pick in most drafts.
We've laid that out pretty much all week long. So touche, by the way, Mr. Zagura.
Well, thank you very much.
Comments.
Yes, I don't get it. I don't get it.
One, Kirk Cousins. Well, Mel Kiper had a lot of thoughts. He continued on, and we know, we've talked so much, the Browns are just immersed in the potential with draft picks, high draft picks in the top four rounds this year. So, Mel, do a lot of these picks then equal opportunities for the Browns to improve immediately?
They have several ways they could go, but they're going to come out of this draft with three quality players minimum in terms of the early portion of the draft. And they have all those other picks to do even more damage.
They do, and that's the key. That's why this is such a critical draft for the Browns. They've gotten an opportunity to get it right, and if they do, it will be a massive influx of talent for the team. Now, a lot of momentum, as you've been talking about, Reg, for taking that quarterback at four. Mel Kiper says, Browns, don't be afraid to pull the trigger.
If you like these one of these quarterbacks, you have to take them. You can't be in that division and be a distant fourth at quarterback. Now, Brian Hoyer showed promise, but he got hurt, unfortunately. Had he played the whole year, you might not be having this discussion right now, but he got hurt. So if they love Manziel or they love Bortles, that would be the two possibilities.
Well, here's the thing. How sure are we right now today, Nathan, 2 weeks to the day away? I can't say for sure that Bill O'Brien might take either Blake Bortles or Johnny Manziel. They're playing it close to the vest. We see some signs that that could be. We've discussed the Jacksonville situation at three. Are they definitively going to take a quarterback? See, these are the unknowns then that
right.
could
shift.
If one of them do take the quarterback, well, now that starts to shift some things, yes?
It certainly does. And really, I've stayed steadfast in my belief that they're not taking a quarterback four, and I'm still going to be there.
I'm with you. I don't believe so either.
And the question then becomes, if, let's say, there was a quarterback they were willing to take it for, and he goes in the top four, and Sammy Watkins isn't available to you at four either, what do the Browns do, Mel Kiper?
You can't force. If you don't like the quarterback, and we're all talking these stories, it depends who they like. Shanahan, worked with Kirk Cousins, right? They were there when Kirk Cousins was selected. If you love Kirk Cousins, send a second round pick. Maybe Washington would bite. I don't know. Maybe they don't. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll say, hey, we got to have a quality backup to RG3. He's got the durability concern. But I'd try that.
About Kirk Cousins and leave Cleveland out of it. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
I appreciate that.
Just forget about you think there's this great link because Kyle Shanahan's the OC here. I really don't get the sense that Kyle Shanahan is beating the table down in the offensive room and the quarterback room and saying, telling Ray Farmer, you got to go get me Kirk Cousins. I don't get that sense.
I think it could have happened already if that really was the case.
You would think so.
I would think that may have been something that would have happened already. Now, is it possible? I guess it is. I don't. If they do it for a six-round pick, fine. Okay, that's fine. Take a gamble on it. Second-round pick, not a chance. Now, Mel Kiper said if Watkins isn't there, you don't like a quarterback, maybe you get out of the pick at number four, which is what you and I have discussed, potentially trading back.
Either if Watkins is gone and you don't like the quarterback, Khalil Mack opposite Mingo, that's a little bit of a luxury there. Mingo's going to be, Mack's a work in progress. That's what you do, or you trade out of four. That would trade down. Get out of four and move down. If you don't feel a quarterback is worthy of being the fourth pick overall, I would get out of there. If Watkins were gone, if Watkins is there, you got to take him.
Yeah, well, he mentioned Barkevious Mingo. Now, that's assuming, too. Barkevious Mingo can, with Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill's tutelage, get up to speed and be able to show that not only was he worthy of that sixth pick last year, Nathan, sixth overall, more importantly, be able to be a difference maker and a playmaker and an edge rusher that really gets in quarterback's face for this defense. Because until that happens, I'm really not including Barkevious Mingo in all of that because I haven't seen it as of yet.
Yeah, and we need to see it. And the good news is we know that Jim O'Neill, his wife made cupcakes with Mingo on it for the draft day last year.
Right.
They wanted him. They were already dreaming up ways to use him. They like him, and now they get that opportunity to work with him. So hopefully they can bring the very best out of him like they brought the very best out of the pass rushers in Buffalo last season.
Oh, they did that. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Second in the NFL in sacks last year. Now, to me, the picks that excite me the most, maybe, are 26 and 35. Obviously, if it went Watkins at 4, 26, Teddy Bridgewater, I would moonwalk around town. My buddy the kid would join me, and Reg, you'd be right by my side.
Sure, I would.
To soak in the joy. Now, I think, though, if you do go quarterback first, if that's the way, let's say you trade back and you go quarterback first, to me, 26 and 35, that's where you can pick up that corner, and then I think you can steal a receiver like an Allen Robinson or a Jordan Matthews, two guys I'm high on, Mel Kiper. Options for the Browns, 26 and 35.
If you take Bortles or Manziel, which let's assume they do, at four, with Watkins already gone. So you take Bortles or Manziel at four, Then you come back and either take the cornerback Kyle Fuller or Jason Verrett from TCU, or you get a wide receiver at that point, like Jordan Matthews from Vanderbilt, Cody Latimer from Indiana, somebody like that. And then at 35, you get the if you didn't take the corner, then you go in there.
Cody Latimer, really, Indiana for Kevin Wilson and his offense, really starting to gain steam as well, Nate.
Yeah.
A guy that, you know, we had more probably a fourth-round guy, right?
Yeah.
Coming out of the end of the 2013 season, but he's gaining steam. I you know, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm fine with Fuller. I'm fine with Verrett, but, boy, Nathan, I love Darquez Dennard from Michigan State for so many reasons. If somehow, and I don't think he's going to be, but if he happened to fall that far, I'd love that for to be the card the Browns pulled at 26.
That would be fine with me. I like him. I like Fuller a lot. And as far as the receivers go, I think there are so many talented guys. I'm going to ask you, because I studied a lot of these receivers. This is a pick that I've really been paying close attention to, because I think that 35 or even 71, we can add a quality wide receiver.
Oh, no question about that.
I'm not on that Cody Latimer train like some
okay.
other people.
No, I didn't. I just – he's – listen, I've got some reservations about him. My thought, though, was he is starting – you're starting to hear him gain
steam. Oh, he's a riser,
steam.
No question. And there are people – Todd McShay thinks that he could go as early as the first round.
I do know.
That to me is crazy.
That'll surprise me a little bit now.
But
mid to late second? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I
given
get
the steam
size,
he's gaining.
I get the size. He ran the 4.3 at his
yes,
pro day.
He did.
So I get the size speed combination. He's got very good hands. He uses his body effectively to shield defenders. I like that. Doesn't offer a lot, at least at this point after the catch. He's not a tremendous route runner. I think his cuts are suspect at best. Rounds a lot of his cuts out. But he's a guy that you're drafting for what you project him to become once you refine
there you go.
Those skills. So
there
I get
go.
That. I just think in this draft there are guys who can do the same things, have the same measurables, but are already better wide receivers for
yeah.
your
no, I'm with
season.
You on that, and I love I'm like you. I love – because, you know, man, I want that big wide out. You got Andrew Hawkins to operate in the slot. You know, I know Travis Benjamin's a little more of an outside-the-numbers guy, but he could still run out of the slot for you, too.
Right.
And Nathan, I want some of those receivers with size. The only one that I as a first-round guy, that I'd be leery of is Brandon Cooks. I don't like the 5'10 thing.
It's not, I love Brandon Cooks. Not going to be an issue. He's going to be well gone before we pick at 26. He's going to be out of there. To me, though, I agree with you. When you look, if you were, and I would ask people to do this exercise in their mind very quickly. If you were to draft the wide receivers in the league, if they were just out there and you could draft them, we'll talk about this when we get back.
Yeah.
You can think about it. If you were to draft the receivers in the league, just pick, you know, first pick, second pick, et cetera, guarantee you the top guys are all going to be 6'3 or above.
No doubt about that.
And so to be able to have an opportunity to pair a Josh Gordon with a guy like an Allen Robinson, a Jordan Matthews, to me, very, very appealing. Even a Dante Moncrief, or if it's Latimer, it's appealing because those guys are going to be able to win against single coverage opposite Gordon.
You're right.
And
Moncrief,
exciting.
Real quickly, he's another one, Nathan, that's picking up steam.
Yep.
Ole Miss, check him out. A guy that, you know, I don't think everybody had a more fourth-round guy. Now he's starting to be a guy that could go second.
Very similar to Latimer. Like the Oscars, we're being played into break right here. When we come back, we'll do a little fact or fiction. It's Nathan Zagura, Michael Regai, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fords.